about that that unbelievable where you go like, yeah, right. Yeah. I'm talking about believable, unbelievable, true story. You know, like, you'll hear them all the time. Every so often we hear where a person runs into a house and rescues someone from a burning inferno. That kind of true story. You're like, wow, when that person comes out, you hear that story and you go like, wow, man, that's unbelievable. Not unbelievable, like, I don't believe it. Unbelievable, like, you're like, wow, that's amazing. You know, and we actually, he's not here tonight, but we got a guy in our church that actually did that. Quite a few years ago, ran into a house and saved some children. Told me that that's, God directed him to where those kids were. In a burning house in Milwaukee. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of unbelievable. That's unbelievable, you know. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You hear a story like that, and what do you say? Yeah, what do you say? Unbelievable. Right, that's unbelievable. So, remember that. So today, let me just kind of throw the, I just want to walk through the unbelievable true story of Christmas tonight. And so, you know, as we walk through this, we've read some scriptures, we walk this, you know, the first person, when you think about the Christmas story, you think about Mary. You know what I'm saying? Mary. Mary in Luke 1:35, the angel, let's all read this. So here's Mary, and the angel comes to her. And let's read this together. What do we say? You ready? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, here's this poor, young, virgin, Jewish virgin girl. She could have been anywhere, they think, anywhere between 13 and 16 years old. And she gets visited by an angel, not just any angel. It's Angel Gabriel. And he comes to her and he says, "Mary, you've been chosen by God. You've been chosen by God to be the mother of God." Imagine Mary. Here's this young lady. She says, "Okay, yes, Lord, whatever you will, let it be done." You know, and kind of in my, kind of, that's what kind of, you know, that's the way I say it, but I'm kind of paraphrasing. She says, "Yes, I'm your servant, whatever you'd like." And, but in between that time after this happened, she had to actually go and tell Joseph, or somebody through that process wanted to tell Joseph. Imagine her trying to explain to Joseph. Explain to her family that she is pregnant. And this whole story about an angel coming in and telling this, and she's pregnant with God's son. Imagine that. I mean, she couldn't even understand this herself, much less explain it to other people. I mean, that's an incredible experience. It's unbelievable. But it's a true story. Then you have Joseph. Now, again, he finds out that his wife-to-be, this person has been pledged to him for his whole year to get married, been waiting for this experience. And then he finds out, the angel, he finds out if Mary's pregnant, and he decides to do the man thing. He decides to put her away, you know, he's going to take care of the business. But yet he has a dream, and then let's read Matthew 1:20 together. It says, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which conceived is in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Now, here again, we have this everyday, run-of-the-mill Jewish carpenter. What was special about David, and well, I mean about Joseph, when we read more, he is descendant. He's a direct descendant of King David. He's a good, righteous man, the scriptures tell us. But his initial reaction to Mary's pregnancy was, "I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to put her away." And now an angel shows up. An angel shows up in his dream and tells him all that's going to happen. And he says, "Take Mary as your wife." And so when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took Mary as his wife. And I got to tell you, that's unbelievable. But it's true. Then you have, of course, the city where Mary and Joseph traveled to. They traveled to Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus. Luke 2:1 says this. Let's read it together. "At the time, the Roman emperor, Augustus, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire." I think that's very interesting. At just the right time, Caesar Augustus decreed that the census would be taken, and every person in the entire Roman world had to go to the town they were born in to be registered. And with Joseph being in the line of David, he goes to the town of Bethlehem with Mary. Now think about this. God has perfect timing, doesn't he? I mean, he has to get Mary pregnant at the right time. He has to get Caesar Augustus over, who's over there in, you know, in Rome, to declare a census that has to travel from all the way to there, to Jerusalem, to all the lands of the Roman ruled, to say, this is the date we're going to do this. And then Joseph has to get a pregnant Mary on a donkey and take her all the way to Bethlehem. God's perfect timing. It is never early. It's never late. It's right on time. And to that, I got to say, amen. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. While in Bethlehem, Mary gives birth to Jesus. And before that happened, they go to the innkeeper and they knock on the door and they say, hey, could you got a room? And the innkeeper said, you know, there's no room. And I always ask the question, I don't know about you, I don't know if you guys, I'm a little weird. Y'all know that by now, most of you hang around before. I always like to ask questions. Did the innkeeper ever know who he turned away that night? Do you think he ever know? Now you shake your head that quick. I don't know. There was a big stir when the shepherds came. There was a big stir when the magi came. Do you think the innkeeper ever know who he turned away from that night? There was something special. So Mary goes and gives birth in the stable. She wraps Jesus, the creator of the world. He just entered in cloths and placed him in a manger. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Then the next group that I really like, everybody likes the shepherds. You know, you can't have a Christmas play with kids without the shepherds, right? Weren't they adorable in our play? You did a good job as a reporter, by the way. Luke 2:9 says, here's these shepherds. Luke 2:9 says, you ready to read this together? And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Now, outside of Bethlehem, here was the shepherds watching over the sheep. They were watching over the lambs and stuff and all the sheep that were there. So it was probably a pretty good herd, because that's where they kept them, far enough away from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was always in need for lambs and sheep for the sacrifices. So there was probably and Jerusalem was a very large city today, so there was probably a lot of sheep there. And so here we got these shepherds. They're outside working the night shift. Nobody likes working. Who likes working the night? Yeah, there is some crazy people that like working the night shift. They're working the night shift. What are they doing at the night shift? They're watching sleep. They're watching sheep sleep. I have to be really careful with that. They're watching sheep sleep. That was their job. Those guys are watching sheep sleep. They don't want any excitement. They don't want any disturbances. They don't want any... nothing happening, and all of a sudden, boom, in the middle of the night, an angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And then suddenly this great host of heaven appeared, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men whom his favor rests. And I just betcha these guys looked at each other after they got up to the ground. I bet you they looked at each other, and you know what they said? Unbelievable. I don't know. Well, it was Hebrew. Whatever it was in Hebrew, you know. It was something in Hebrew that meant unbelievable, I'm sure. And of course, you know, I do want to tell everybody the wise men didn't show up on Christmas, the first Christmas. Not going to go into that long story, but they weren't there. But the last person that we think about in the first Christmas is baby Jesus, of course. You know, he's the reason for the season. And John 1:14 says this. We're studying this right now on Sunday. Let's all say this together. You ready? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, God became a baby human. That's what it's saying. We've studied that. In the beginning of John 1:1 says the Word became flesh. The Word was God, and Word was with God, and Word was God. And there John is trying to tell us, the Apostle John is trying to tell us, the Word is Jesus Christ. So God became a baby human, born in a stable with animals. I'm pretty sure that wood didn't smell that good that night. I mean, you couldn't find a more lowly of a place to have a child. The Creator of all creation was given eyes and ears and hands and feet and a mouth. There was no big hoopla. There was no party. There was no, big invited guest list. But Mary and Joseph, I could just see that night. Mary and Joseph, they look into the face of their son. And they're looking into the face of God. I think they said, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Did Mary really know? Did she know when she kissed that baby that she kissed the face of God? Did the angels who announced the birth even begin to grasp what stupendous thing was taking place that night? And did the shepherds who ran to the stable in response to the angel's announcement realize how appropriate it was that they bowed down before this baby? Those are all good questions, but I can tell you what I know. I know that God loves us so much that He became one of us. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus didn't become, and it's been written, I've read this before, but Jesus did not become a philosophy to be discussed. He did not become a theory to be debated. He did not become a concept to be pondered. Jesus became a person to be followed, to be enjoyed, and to be loved. He became God. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable true story. Tomorrow, matter of fact, tomorrow, in this very theater, there's going to be a movie that starts tomorrow. It's opening day, Christmas Day. There's going to be a movie called Unbroken. And I actually have some free guest passes here for movies for whoever. Do we have any guests here tonight? Who's been here? Who's here for the first time? Anybody here for the first time? No guests? We got Ralph in the back there. Well, I'm gonna give you one. And anybody's birthday today? Anybody's birthday yesterday? Anybody's birthday tomorrow? Oh my lands, I can't even get yours. Who's this? Your mom's? Awesome. Well, I'm gonna give you one too. So here, would you take a whose?
Elaine.
Oh wait, I wanna give you this gift here. I need a runner here.
Okay.
No, it's for any time. But that movie is starting tomorrow, so Tom, give those guys one, and give Ralph back there one in the back here. Here, Ralph's in the very back back there. I just want to give you this gift. This movie starts tomorrow, and it's called Unbroken. And it's a great movie. I've actually read a little bit of the book. And it's a nice story of Louis Zamperini. I know how to pronounce that correctly. He was an Olympic track star. Well, first of all, he was quite a character growing up. So there's hope for y'all. He enlisted in World War II, and he was a bombardier in the Air Force, and his plane was shot down over the Pacific. He spent 47 days. He survived it and spent 47 days adrift in shark-infested waters in the Pacific Ocean. He was finally captured by the Japanese. He spent 2.5 years in a Japanese prison camp where when they found out, the officer who was in charge of that camp found out he was an Olympic athlete, he decided to make him, the brunt of all of the pain to show the prisoners that he was in charge. And so this guy tortured this man and beat him and tried to break him, and he couldn't. The movie's awesome. The book is better, I heard. I didn't read it all, but I read parts of it. He survived the prison camp. He goes home to California. And then the nightmare never stops. He gets his alcoholism starts and he becomes an alcoholic. He has night terrors. He has PTSD. His marriage is falling apart. You know, he has bitterness and hatred for the Japanese people and that guy who, that commander who tortured him so much. And then one day his wife couldn't take it anymore and she was going to leave him. And the neighbor said, listen, This was in 1949. Billy Graham comes into Los Angeles and does one of those revival tent meetings. And his wife goes because a neighbor brought her. And she comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And she goes home and says, hey, Lloyd, this is it. If you can't straighten it out, I'm leaving you. And said, or you can come to this thing. So he goes to the revival the next night. He didn't want to go. But as he was there, he listened to the message and the salvation message of Jesus Christ. And that night, he was Billy Graham. You know, they were singing Just As I Am, as Cliff Barrows was singing that song. If you know, he comes forward that night and he receives Christ. And he tells people, he writes in the book, you can read it in the book, you can go on Billy Graham's website and read it. He tells people from that night on, he went home that night and never had another drink, never had a nightmare, never had another night terror. Everything was, he was healed. What do you say to that? Unbelievable. It's in the book. Read it. It's unbelievable, but it's true. That's what Christ can do for you. He lived a full and joyous Christ-centered life until he died. He died like in 2010 or beginning of 2011. He actually read the book. He helped a lady write the book about him. And then he passed away. But until he was writing, people would write him and he would write back to them and tell him how he forgave the Japanese commander who tortured him and how he forgave the Japanese people. You don't do that unless Christ really changes you and heals you. It's unbelievable. I know. I'm a little older, a little wiser, and so I know everybody in here is going like, that's impossible. Some people are saying that. They're like, I don't believe it. I don't believe that for one minute. Well, Matthew 19:26 says this. Jesus looked at people intently and said, humanly speaking, that's impossible. But with God, everything is what? Impossible. That's right. So my question for you today is, how are you going to respond to the unbelievable true message, true story of Christmas today? You know, some believe it's a nice story. I believe, just like Santa Claus, you know. It's a nice story. You know, I've said this before. Other people believe, well, oh, man, Scott, that's your crutch. You go right ahead. Well, I'm going to tell you something. My crutch has power. Some people believe that Jesus doesn't exist. Others hear Jesus, but they don't want to believe it. They just don't want to believe it. We said it in John. They love the darkness before they love the light. But a few, listen to this, a few people believe the Christmas story and put their faith and hope in Jesus Christ. John 1:12 says this, but to all who believed in him, let's read this all together, you ready? But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, this Christmas, my hope for you is that you would give Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus doesn't have everything. Did you know that? Pretty alarming statement, isn't it? Because if you haven't given him your trust, you haven't given your heart, you haven't made Jesus first place in your life, that's something he doesn't have. So I'm saying give Jesus the gift of yourself this Christmas. Because you know what? He doesn't come in and force it on you. It's a voluntary matter. Jesus will never, ever force it on you. You see, if our greatest need had been, if somebody else wrote this, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have to send us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have to send us an economist. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you today, are you ready? Is there anyone here today ready to receive Jesus Christ, the most important gift ever offered? If you are, let's bow our heads. Let's just bow our heads. Everybody tonight, bow our heads. Because this is an important night. This could be the night like Lewis, and like so many others, like myself, where you receive Christ and your life has changed. The Bible says that when you receive Christ, you are a new person. The old is gone, the new has come. You're a new creature. You're a new person. So if you're here tonight and you've never received Christ, if you're thinking, wow, God is tugging on my heart, pray this prayer. It's a simple prayer, but just pray it to yourself. You don't have to pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, because you're talking to him, he knows your heart. I accept that you came to this earth for me and died for my sins. Please forgive me. I put my faith in you and accept you as Lord and leader of my life. I recognize that when I accept you, that I am now a child of God. So tonight I choose you. Please enter in my life and begin to teach me your ways. In your name, amen. Well, man, if you prayed that prayer tonight, it's unbelievable. It's amazing. Matter of fact, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says that Jesus pours his spirit into your heart and grants you the power to live this new life. That now you have eternal life that stretches past death and into forever. That you are at peace with God. And that now you're a part of God's own family as his adopted sons and daughters with an inheritance that can never, never run out. And you know what the angels in heaven are saying? Yeah, unbelievable. They're saying unbelievable. Luke 15:7 says this, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Well, that's the unbelievable true story of Christmas. I'm glad that you came so I could share that with you tonight. If our worship team, our communion servers, and our come forward, we're going to prepare ourselves for communion tonight.
For silent night, if you could turn those lights on.
Right.
Okay.
We're
going to
grab the tabernacle first, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I'm on. Yeah, what an unbelievable story, man. You know, we think of all the little pictures of the baby and the manger and all that, but the unbelievable thing of it, he had a destiny in that manger to go to the cross. You know, he later in the book of John, around chapter 12, he says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to me. He was talking about being on the cross for us. And that's what communion is about. I mean, communion is a big part of in remembering the cross. It's a big part of what Jesus was here for, to die and rise again and to shed his blood for us so we can be saved and come a part of this unbelievable story and make those angels party up in heaven. So we're going to celebrate communion here, not only on Christmas Eve, but the first time in this theater. So bear with us if it's a little bumpy, but we'll get it. It'll be good. So let's start out. We're going to pass the bread, and I'm going to read something, and we're going to celebrate and rejoice. If you've been drawn to Christ, if you've made those angels dance and been saved, you're welcome to take part of this. You don't have to be a member here. Just be a member of the family of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Also, if you're a believer, or for any reason you just don't feel comfortable taking communion tonight, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, as I indicated in the thing I sent out this week, if you've got problems in your life or sin in your life you're dealing with, it's okay to pass it by. Nobody's going to look at you or stare at you or anything like that. It's okay to do that as well. But it's good to be able to rejoice in our salvation and remember what it cost our Savior, the baby in the manger, what it cost him as a man to bring us to faith. So we're going to pass the bread out. Have communion.